Hello, this is the FL72 podcast. Sam and Tom, if you missed the show this week, then this is why you're here, to download and listen to it. And Tom has promised for this week's podcast, because this is a first where we've actually got a sponsored advertisement to bring you, that he reckons he can do it and deliver it in a professional manner.
Professional manner, yes. This is it's Tom Connor from the FL72 podcast telling you you can get 8 incredible craft beers for only £14 with Beer 52. As a listener to one of our Radio Yorkshire podcasts, we've arranged an extra special...
You can insert podcast there. You can say you can make it sound a bit more exclusive to the FL72 listener.
As a listener to our FL72 podcast, we've arranged an extra special deal just for you. Beer 52 ship theme monthly boxes, if we could say the words, of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious, exclusive craft beers selected to your preferences. The award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack by using our code...
What's the code?
The code, by using our code, PROPER, all in capitals.
That doesn't matter. It can be...
It doesn't matter.
Lowercase or in capitals, just in capitals to emphasise.
I'm reliably informed that proper at beer52.com, that's 8 exclusive hand-selected beer. This month, Sam, it's Norwegian craft beers. Very nice indeed. 100-page Ferment magazine, beer snack, free next-day delivery, so you're not going to wait either, and a flexible monthly subscription. All just £14 in your first month.
Excellent. Well done, Tom Carndorf. We can vouch for it because
we sent
it out. Next day delivery. It arrived. It was ice cold and it was very, very tasty.
Very good.
So make sure beer52.com. We'll work on Tom for next week. This is the podcast.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL72. Sam Bridges and the editor of the72.co.uk, Tom Carndorf, with you for the next hour. We're discussing all things Football League, including the breaking news tonight. Leeds United is officially under new ownership. Andrea Radrizzani completing his takeover of the club, purchasing the final 50% from Massimo Cellino. We shall talk about that in full. We'll discuss Bradford City losing in the playoff final at the weekend to Millwall, who are now members of the Championship. Huddersfield Town, will they be members of the Premier League? We'll discuss their game against Reading in the Championship playoff final on Monday. We'll talk all about Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United 2, plus news across the Football League, where Harry Kewell has become the head coach of Crawley Town today, and is Steve Evans on the move? We'll find out. So much more on the FL72. We say good evening to Mr. Tom Carndorf.
Hello.
How are you doing, Tom?
Good, how are you?
Good. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been in the studio together for one reason or another. But reunited now.
Reunited after our heroic footballing performances at the weekend, I think.
Yeah.
Just start off by mentioning it.
Yeah, before we get on to actual real football matters.
Yeah.
Our good friends at Coral invited us over to play on the pitch Ellen Road on Saturday, and we started off, didn't we? Me and you, centre-half partners.
The defensive dream duo.
Janssen and Bartley.
Exactly.
Keon and Adams.
Us two. And then we did well, to be fair. We were, after 15 minutes, we were 3-0
down? 3-0
down. So it weren't too bad.
Indeed, to be
fair. It weren't too bad, really.
Set pieces, I don't think any of those goals were our fault.
No.
Really.
No. No, first one was an own goal, so not much we can really do about that.
Yeah.
Not from either of us, so that's not
our
problem.
No, but a member of the Radio Yorkshire team,
our
fans panel.
Well done, Dom.
Dom Pollard, you'll hear him on Fan Thursday with Darren, on Sunday Night Live with Tom Kerwin.
His first act on the pitch was to run in and finish. Lovely finish back post, just in the wrong goal.
It was a great finish. So, a few of the scouts in the stands taking a look at Dom now. But yeah, it was interesting. Big pitch at Ellen Road, and tell you what, well, my calf went after 25 minutes, so But well done to all the boys that managed to carry through
to
the
yeah.
90 minutes. I have a few sore legs afterwards. Not the fittest bunch of people in the world, but always a joy to play on Elland Road. And, well, it brings us nicely to the big news this evening. Andrea Radrazzani has completed his takeover of Leeds United. We had a statement around 15 minutes ago. And, of course, Mr. Radrazzani purchased 50% of the club in January, who's acquired the remaining 50% from Massimo Cellino, and doing so takes full control of the club. In a statement, he said he's delighted to have the opportunity to become the custodian of this great football club. The heritage and history of Leeds United attracted me to the club, he says, and having spent time at games and at Thorpe Arch, I can see that we are ready to move forward to the next level. The full statement is going up on radioyorkshire.co.uk. Also part of that statement, a goodbye message from Massimo Cellino, the departing co-chairman, who says he's been proud to work at Leeds United with nice people who have worked at the club with him. He says, if you can survive working with me, you can survive anything, which
fair enough.
From Massimo, waste goodbye and farewell in that. But the full statement up on radioyorkshire.co.uk, make sure you go and check that out in full. We'll also have a video containing the statement up very, very shortly as well. But Tom, your thoughts on this news this evening? It's been coming, everyone knows. It's been on the cards, but now it's done.
It is done. It's, like you said, it's not really a surprise, because obviously we've been expecting it to come, but now it's just a case of where Leeds go from here. We'd probably expect Monk to be tied up pretty shortly.
There's been rumours today, hasn't there, that the club have exercised the 12 months on his contract to extend that deal. So only seems a matter of time.
Yeah, and the fact that I think the whole hold-up with potential Monk contract talks was this takeover that's now happened. It was, I think, it was Andrea's people sending the Italian press last week that within 10 days it'll kind of be done, so we've hit that time frame. And yeah, it's quite positive, really, I suppose, with when you've looked at the past couple of years for Leeds United. They've made a lot of the headlines for the wrong reasons, a lot of the off-the-field antics, news, etc. Apart from this season, where kind of Monk's brought the football side back, him and his coaching staff, the team have done very well, although they, of course, just fell short of the playoffs. It was still a great season by comparison of the seasons before that. So, it's going to be interesting to see where the club go here. We don't really know too much about Radrazzani in terms of, we can kind of look up his background, but do we know too much about him kind of as a football club owner? He's had, 5 months now to learn kind of the ropes of it, 4 or 5 months. I think that was the point of him coming in to take the 50%. He's learnt the ropes a bit now, obviously knows how to run a football club a bit better. So, yeah, it's quite a positive move, I suppose, when you think it's come at the start of the summer as well. If they can tie Monk down, I think it could be quite an exciting summer for Leeds United.
Yeah, it seemed to me anyway that the Gary Monk thing was probably already done, and awaiting the takeover to be confirmed before starting to get this positive news out, so the new broom comes into the club and everything is positive. And I think, as you said, Andrea Radrazzani's come into the club, he's been here 5 months, had a look, and my overriding opinion of him so far, that he seems very savvy, and we've heard a lot of the murmurings. Obviously, Ben Mansford's moving out of the club. There's going to be new appointments coming in.
Yeah.
That it seems like it is going to be a real new dawn for Leeds United. And maybe, obviously, the last two ownerships have had serious problems at times.
Yeah.
And that this new era will, I think, professionalism and maybe just a little bit more savvy than the rest, and maybe some kind of restructuring with talk of technical directors and things like that.
Yeah, I think it's not massive surprise, I suppose, with these new people coming in. It's pretty much the same with any takeover anywhere. It's difficult to kind of say. Like I say, we don't know too much about Radrazzani. He's given a good impression when he's turned up since he's kind of been around the club. He's very obviously active on social media as well. A lot of the fans seem to want this move. So, like I said, it seems to be quite an exciting move for the time that it's come, for the start of the summer. If they can tie Monk down, that's going to be, you know, a real statement of intent as well. And again, it's just a case of seeing what happens early in the next few weeks, really. I think that'll give us a clearer indication of where the club's going, what the plans are for next season. And, you know, I think it's kind of, in a way, positive to go back to having one outright owner as opposed to, you know, the 50-50% ownership. And, of course, Chiellino's not been the most popular person with Leeds fans, so this could be, you know, a real positive step moving forward to get fans back on board and to try and carry on where they left off last season.
Yeah, obviously, stability now the key. It seems like Gary Monk is going to have that contract extended.
Yes.
Reports coming out today certainly stating that to be the case. What does Gary Monk and the new regime need to do over the summer for you in terms of keeping, you know, what's been a good season overall for Leeds United, dropping out of the playoffs? Not ideal. It would have been nice to see Leeds testing it themselves in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's certainly been a progressive season. What's needed now, do you think?
A good transfer window.
What areas are important for you?
The top areas, the top players last year, your Kyle Bartley's. That's got to be kind of a key one, I think, to try and get him back.
Yeah.
And if Monk stays, I think that's going to be a big part of it. If they can keep Gary Monk, it's going to be a lot easier to keep the likes of Kyle Bartley. Pontus Janssen, who's got interest from elsewhere. I think Chris Wood as well, if bids come in for him. I think if Monk stays, that's kind of your point where you can then build from there. And, you know, a transfer window where if they add quality to what they had last season, it could be a different picture and they could be playoffs, because you can't imagine Radrizzani's coming in to want to have a championship club. You can see he's kind of come in at the time he has because the club just missed out on playoffs. They seem to have the manager in place that's the man to take them forward, and whether he invests in the transfer window remains to be seen, but you can't see him, you know, not putting anything in whatsoever. You can't see him just being content with the club being in the championship.
No, I think on and off the pitch, there'll be quite a lot of changes, I think, behind the scenes as well. What about Massimo Chiellino then? He's put out his goodbye message.
Yes.
from Massimo. How do you think he'll be remembered long term? It's been turbulent at times,
yeah.
But then you can't also argue the fact that he has steadied the ship in a way, and what GFH did at Leeds United was create a lot of debt, which Massimo has steadied the ship, to be fair, and he kind of splits the Leeds United fans. He's obviously very, very unpopular in some sections,
yeah.
Then others have kind of recognised some of the things that he has done that have kept Leeds going, really, and moving in the right direction.
Yeah, the problem with kind of that was it was a similar thing at the club he was at in Italy, where apparently the fans were split there as well. There was kind of, you're either in the pro-Chiellino camp, you're in the anti-Chiellino camp. It really split the fan base, and you've kind of seen that now at Leeds. I think the case is for, obviously, to reunite that. But, you know, in fairness, on the financial sides of things, that there's been a bit more stability. It's just the nature, I think, of a lot of kind of what he did at the club. I can understand in some aspects, you know, you can say, all right, I think his intentions were right, but I think he executed a lot of what he did badly. Especially, you know, you've got to recognise that this season as well, you know, he's kind of left it to be left football to football, and that's been a massive part of kind of the success that Leeds have had this season, because even though they didn't make playoffs, they've still had quite a successful season. You know, Monk said at the end, the kind of aim all along was to, you know, have a good season, of course, win games, but to try and re-engage that fan base with the club because of kind of previous seasons, and I think he's done that. But of course, I think his legacy, his memory at Leeds is going to be a lot of the just the crazy little stories, you know, the managers, obviously, just the high turnover of managers, the little things down to the colour purple, the number 17, etc. I think
Dave Hockaday,
it seems like.
Let's not forget that.
Darko Milanic as well, of course, broke Brian Clough's record at Leeds for the shortest spell in charge, 33 days I think he lasted. So I think, you know, there is some credit there for Chiellino to take, but it's going to be a lot of the things like that are probably going to overshadow everything else. And I think that's how Leeds fans and certainly the wider kind of football community in England as well. I think that's how they're going to know him. They're going to recognise Chelino as he's that Leeds owner that just sacked managers and had weird superstitions, etc. And I think that's probably how he's going to be remembered.
Andrea Radrizzani comes in and at the press conference when they announced the 50% investment.
Yes.
Both were present, and you really got the sense of two contrasting characters between Massimo Cellino and Mr. Radrizzani. And I suppose that's kind of the key thing now. A lot of the things you've talked about there, you've got someone now who's kind of the opposite to that. And probably, I think, what everyone who supports Leeds, who's invested in the success of Leeds United, needs now. It needs that sense of professionalism. Yeah. He's a media smart guy. He's not going to put his foot in it anywhere or anything like that. You sense now that the club will be smoother for its
fans.
Yeah,
I think you mentioned that press conference there. I think there was a bit of a hint. The worrying thing for me at that press conference, we had one co-owner saying, you know, we need to use this January transfer window. The club's in a good position. We need to kind of add to that. And you had the other co-owner saying, no, we don't need to spend. You know, we don't really want to do too much in January, which could always be a problem. I don't think it really affected the club too much having the 50-50 split, but it's, I think, a positive move to, of course, just have the one person in charge, the one person who, you know, he's inexperienced at football, you know, owning a football club. And in fairness to him, I think that's why he's obviously been around for a few months, just to assess what's going on, how it works, how everything works, learn all about it. And, you know, I think it's going to be positive. I think it will be positive for Leeds if they can, you know, tie Monk down pretty soon as well. That's when you're going to get a lot of people back on board, a lot of positivity going, and, you know, hopefully kind of a good transfer window under the one owner, who's calling the shots, how everything's going, etc. And like I said, it's hopefully going to be positive.
Mm. Yeah, and obviously you pointed out his inexperience at running a football club, but already appointments to the board. Yeah. Ivan Bravo from Real Madrid, there's now talk of some kind of technical director coming into the club as well. So it seems like Andrea Radrizzani's doing the right thing in getting those experienced people who do know football inside and out around him.
I don't think you can accidentally get a job at Real Madrid either. So I think, you know, the Ivan Bravo move as well, especially, is an interesting one, because the guy's obviously done good jobs to get the positions that he's been in before. And yeah, like you said, it's good to see him making those positive moves as well, that he's surrounding himself with people who know the game, have known the game, known clubs at top levels of world football we're talking about as well. And that's, of course, going to help him in the long term. It kind of, we spoke about Monk, but he's touched on it there. They're looking at someone from Middlesbrough, is it, as that kind of someone else to join. And it remains to be seen in the summer who else he brings in, because he started off quite well, positive on the recruitment. So you're thinking that, you know, if Monk stays on as Leeds boss, he's then making these other appointments, you can see the club going in a real good direction, a direction that's kind of lacked in the past couple of seasons.
Indeed, so there we have it. The news that broke just before 6 o'clock, that Andrea Radrizzani has completed his takeover of Leeds United. He's purchased the remaining 50% stake from Massimo Cellino. Make sure you go and check out the statement on the Radio Yorkshire website. Also comes with a goodbye message from Massimo Cellino as well. Tom, let's move on and talk about Bradford City losing, of course, at Wembley at the weekend. Millwall back in the Championship. I think that's the all-round thing, isn't it? I think a lot of people feel for Bradford because it was so close, and we were looking forward to hopefully a real northern strong Championship
next year,
which it still is. But it would have been nice to have Bradford in that mix as well. But disappointment on the day. They couldn't get over the line. Your thoughts on it?
I think I said it last week. You really fancied Bradford going up to the game. Just, you know, down to even things like the pitch, the the whole event itself. He really fancied Bradford. But like you said, on the day, it was, you could tell it was going to be Millwall's day. You know, even down to, you think, if, was it Clark, if he scored that chance about 20 minutes in, that could have been a completely different game. Then it was just a remarkable save to deny him through one-on-one after what was just a fantastic pass from Marshall to notice that, to notice the run. It's stuff like that where you look back and go, maybe the game was different, but it was just pretty much mostly Millwall. It was all Millwall in terms of watching it, looking, going, it seems to be that it's going to be them that are going to win it. And it's just gutting whenever you lose a game, but to do it late on in a final as well, I'm sure it's going to be gutting, but you fancy Bradford to pick themselves up. It's not like, you know, we talk about the ownership of Leeds. It seems a very stable club there. They seem to have got a man that's done quite well with them this season in Stuart McCall. You're expecting them to build on that, and hopefully they can, you know, carry on building in the January, in the summer transfer window on the pitch, and give it a real good go, and maybe push top two next season.
And they only have to look at the team that we're celebrating on Saturday night. Of course, Millwall losing in the playoff final last year after beating Bradford in the semis, and they've gone back to the drawing board, Neil Harris, and got promoted at the second attempt. But as you said, for me, it seems like a great season. They're playing a lot better football, I think everyone would agree, than they were under Phil Parkinson, even though Phil Parkinson's proved right in getting to Bolton and getting up. But plenty of good signs for next season. And the recruitment for me, that's the important part. Greg Abbott, part of that team as well, of course, formerly of this parish as well. But he's done a great job in terms of what they've managed to recruit in a short space of time, given it's only been less than 12 months since Stuart McCall's been there, came into a side with eight players signed up. They struggled to score goals in the early part of the season. In January, signed a couple of strikers, started to score goals, and we're looking great. So all the signs for me are positive for Bradford moving on into next season.
Yeah, it's not really a team that needs too much changing about it. You touched on goals there. If they had a Charlie White from the start of the season, you know, someone who can get them goals, going to be a completely different picture. We spoke about the amount of draws that they got. If they had a goal scorer in those games, that could have been, you know, different. The end of season could have been different. They might have avoided the playoffs and going up automatically. You don't know, but not too much needs to be done at Bradford. That's the positive thing. They've had the heartbreak of this season, but it's not like they've got a massive rebuild job to do. They've got a lot of what they need there already. If they can get, you know, of course, some of the standout players loan, if they can get them back, you can't imagine they're going to be involved at West Ham, for example. So if they can get them back, they're really going to help. And then, you know, spoke about Greg Abbott there. Little things down to Colin Doyle costing a pound. It's little business like that you notice. And hopefully he can find more. Of course, I imagine he'll be talking to Stuart McCall a lot as well, and they can add quality. And if they do that, you've got to fancy him to challenge top two next season. And if they don't, they've definitely got to be a strong contender for the playoffs.
Philip Million has been in touch on Facebook, who feels for Bradford. But yeah, as we just said, plenty of positives on the issue of Leeds. What's needed now, and how will Massimo be remembered? Lee Casimos is on the hall. He thinks he'll be remembered in a positive way. Obviously, sacked a few along the way, but ultimately, I think he did his best to try and bring us in the right direction. Great news for the club, says Tim Green. Gavin Westall says, shout out, please.
Fair enough.
There you go.
You've got an opinion.
A shout out. Yeah, but yeah, get a question in or give us your thoughts on any of the issues, Gavin, we're discussing tonight. Bradford, then, just finally, Tom, this time next season, will they be celebrating promotion to the Championship?
I'd expect this time next season we'll be talking about them as a Championship club. As we touched on it there, not much needs to be changed. It's a few minor tweaks, a few minor additions, and it could be a completely different picture, but you fancy them next season.
Yeah, I'll say this on the Yorkshire Football Show, actually. When you look at the teams coming down, that'll be out later on. You've got Blackburn, you just don't know what's going to happen there. Tony Mowbray struggled, of course, previously to get teams back out of League One. Rotherham, who have come in down with a horrendous points tally, you know what's going to happen to them next season. They're not coming down strong. Wigan, you could argue, you know, might get back in the groove next season, but in terms of the teams coming down, you know, it could be a struggle for some of those, and then, you know, Bradford are just as good as everybody else that's missed out.
Yeah, it's that, you, like you said there, the team's coming down, like especially Rotherham, for example, you don't expect them to challenge. The only thing is, of course, the teams coming up from League Two are very strong. You've got your Doncaster, Portsmouth, Plymouth, who have come so close before. You fancy them to do well next season, but at the same time, you've lost Sheffield United and Bolton and Millwall, who, you know, are always going to be up and around there. So, you know, it's not going to be too much of a challenge compared to this season. But like I said, those few minor tweaks, those few minor additions, it can be a completely different picture come this time next year. And like I said, I fully expect Bradford to kind of dust themselves down, build again, and you know, achieve promotion next season, whether it be automatic or playoffs.
Indeed. Let's move on and talk about Huddersfield Town. In fact, before we do, let's hear from David Wagner, because he was speaking to you.
To me.
To our very own Tom Carnduff, after, of course, they made the Championship playoff final in that dramatic night at Hillsborough against Sheffield Wednesday. What a night. And here's what David Wagner had to say when Tom caught with him after the game.
David, congratulations. Just try and sum up your emotions at the moment.
I think, first of all, before I speak about us and our emotions, I'd like to thank Carlos and Sheffield Wednesday for these two great matches they delivered us. I can imagine how sad they are after this result. They played a very good season and a very strong semi-final as well. I think everybody knows if a semi-final over two legs goes into the penalty shootout, it shows how even and tight this game was. Both teams had their opportunities, and at the end we've won the penalty shootout because of our goalkeeper Danny Ward, and that we are able to put the ball more often into the net in the penalties shootout than the Sheffield Wednesday. I think I'm very happy, absolutely proud about what the players did today and over the whole season. I think this was an example for this group of characters. They were 1-0 down in Hillsborough. Everybody knows how difficult this occasion can be. And they came back, they bounced back. You should never write this group off. I think this is what they've shown over the whole season, and they have shown this today again. And this is why I'm so proud to be a part of this group, and I'm happy for every Huddersfield Town supporter, for the whole club, the chairman, that we achieved this final. And I think if everybody knows that the most pundits said before the season we will be in relegation trouble or maybe get relegated, now we are one step away from the Premier League. I think only this shows what achievement this is for this, yeah, we can say it, low budget club, the small dog, like I always said, the small terriers, but they have character, and they have trust and belief in what they are doing, and this is what the players have shown today.
On the game itself, you mentioned character. To go behind a ground like Hillsborough, crowd are against you, you're happy with the way your team responded, and obviously to take it to penalties and win.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, I thought we played a good match over the whole 90 minutes. The first half was okay, the second was as well okay. Like I said, we had our opportunities. Izzy Brown in the first half, from my point of view, after I've seen the pictures, I say this could be a penalty when Naki get fouled in the first half as well. And Sheffield had their chances as well. I think we made a few very good blocks. And at the end, we still wanted to stay in this competition, and we never gave up. I think the body language of my players was great after we conceded the goal. We really wanted to get the equalizer, and we really wanted to come to Wembley, and now we are in the final. The fairy tale goes on, and we like to write the last chapter, a successful chapter, on the 29th, and for this we will prepare us as good as we can.
So the fairy tale goes on. Just how excited for you to go to Wembley in your first full season at the club?
To be fair, now for me it's so far away. I was so happy and proud that I was involved in the semi-finals. against Sheffield Wednesday in this occasion. And now we are in Wembley. Of course, we all together are very happy and proud. And even the Germans know that London Wembley Stadium, maybe together with the Maracanã in Rio, is maybe the highest place you can go to play a competitive football match. And now we are there, and I'm a part of the group.
From Barnsley to Bradford, the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Sam and Tom, back with you on the FL 72. We're talking Huddersfield Town at the moment. Let's just actually just quickly go back to Facebook. We're live on there. You can watch the show in Vision tonight. A little earlier, we talked about the Leeds United takeover being done and dusted. Nathan Blanchard being in touch there, saying hopefully this means that we're on the way to becoming a normal football club again. Managerial mishaps aside, Massimo Cellino has dragged the football club off its backside. God knows where we would have been without him. For that, I respect the bloke. Onto new pastures. In terms of Huddersfield, Daniel Graham is asking, who do you think will win the Championship playoff final? Who do you want to win,
Tom? Ooh.
I'm neutral.
Well,
you're
I'm
a
neutral.
Leeds fan.
I didn't know Leeds were there. I think Huddersfield would win, and I want Huddersfield to win, because looking at it as it should be from pure footballing basis, I've really enjoyed watching Huddersfield Town this season, and we have slated Reading before. They get the job done. They never said anything bad about it, but in terms of an entertaining side to watch, Huddersfield Town are probably one of the most entertaining in the league. Not just that, but you look at the game on Wednesday at Hillsborough, where they can go to a ground like Hillsborough and they can really kind of get the crowd on Wednesday's back. Even going a goal down, they responded so well to it. And, you know, they've got the players like, you know, Aaron Moy in centre midfield, where they're going, where they're giving him so much time and space, and he's just doing absolute magical things with it. They've got players like Colin Kwana who can come off the bench. If they do that at Wembley, you've got to fancy them to win promotion. And David Wagner said it there, it's a fairy tale, and what an absolute fairy tale it'll be if they can win. This time next week we'll of course know the result, we'll know if they are a Premier League side. But in terms of who I think will and who should, it should be Huddersfield, because it's just been a remarkable season for them, and it'll be, you know, what a fitting end to it if they can get to the Premier League.
Indeed, Philip Millian also has been in touch. He addressed this to me, then he's come back to you, but I think it might have been me that did say it.
No one wants to ask you anything.
Do you now believe that form goes out of the window in the playoffs?
Yes.
Remember you said you feel that form plays a big part in being successful in them. There are two underdogs are in the final.
I think
Park and Reading be the underdogs. They finished third.
They were the underdogs in terms of the estimations and the bookies. Could have got them 7-1 to win the playoffs, and they finished third. That's remarkable when you think about it. But I think form, I always kind of said about form that I think it really played a part in the semi-final. But when you get to the final, it's just who turns up on the day. You know, it's one game of football. It's a different occasion. It's not a normal game. It's just who turns up on the day. But, you know, as they've shown, it's the form's kind of gone out of it. Two teams that went into the playoffs in okay form, not as good as Wednesday, not as fancied as Fulham. I think that makes it quite an interesting final that these two are involved.
Yeah, the most surprising things about the playoffs this time round, when you looked at it, you maybe would have expected some more exciting games, more goals across the two games. For Huddersfield, Sheffield Wednesday, obviously finishing in 1-1, 0-0 in the first game to then go to penalties, and, you know, Fulham and Reading to be split by just one goal after a 1-1 draw, and then a 1-0 for Reading. I thought it might be
a
bit more attacking, given you looked at it, and obviously Fulham came into it scoring a lot of goals, but Huddersfield have played attacking football. Sheffield Wednesday have a lot of firepower. Reading I suppose, actually, when you look at it, you think Reading maybe the ones that are a bit more defensive, but they've scored more goals over the season than Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield. So that's been the thing for me about these playoffs.
I think it was quite, in all honesty, it was a bit, in terms of entertainment value, if you try and take yourself away from the teams involved completely, if you support them, it was a... I'm not going to use the word disappointing, because the Wednesday Huddersfield second leg game was, you know, just really entertaining, especially being there. It was, you really got involved in it. But overall, I think that there have been better playoff semi-final ties. And even it's been overshadowed by League Two, which is just everything you want in playoff ties, don't you? You know, you can't always have it like that, but just the drama, the amount of goals that anyone could have won it. I think, like I said, to have two games that have been very low scoring, it's been a bit of a surprise with the teams involved. With teams we've spoke about there, three of them especially quite attacking minded, whereas Reading, you said about the goals, but it's all in kind of that they wait for the opportunity a bit more than the others. And Sheffield Wednesday, with the fact that they can bring Jordan Rhodes off the bench, that says something when you can bring him off the bench. So yeah, surprise that there wasn't more goals than there actually were. But, you know, we're here at the final, and it should be, you know, quite an entertaining contest.
Yeah, looking forward to the game on Monday. I'm convinced now that the Huddersfield are going up. That second leg against Sheffield Wednesday, just the performance in that, and then just afterwards, the players just where they didn't get carried away. It wasn't job done. They believe it, that this is their destiny. This is where this season has led to. And yeah, I just really fancy them to go and get the job done now.
I think that, and we joked about people were joking about in the press box the second leg. Oh, if it goes to penalties, Huddersfield have won this. Huddersfield have won this because obviously the Germans always win at penalties. Well, it's come true. So if it goes to penalties, you probably fancy Huddersfield again. But it's going to be close. But again, I just how the season's been, the whole spirit around the club, this little old Huddersfield's the phrase they use. They're going to Wembley as playoff finalists. You just think it's got to be a fairy tale ending to what has been a fairy tale season.
Indeed, we were hoping Bradford would go up, and I don't think anyone was looking for Millwall to get back in the Championship, and they spoilt the party. So we shall see what happens on Monday. Score prediction, Tom, is it going to be settled in the 90 minutes?
Difficult. It's going to be close, but I just hope there's some goals in it. I think, yeah, Kermigan, the forms he's in, you'd expect him maybe to find the net. But I think players like Aaron Moy are really going to thrive. If you know, he turns up, Huddersfield have won. I think Huddersfield will just edge it 2-1.
Indeed, yeah, I fancy Town as well. I'm going to go 3-1. I think it's convincing. Oof. After the low-scoring semis.
You take that.
Oh, yeah. So fingers crossed Huddersfield can do the business. We shall take a quick break on the FL72. When we come back, we'll talk about the South Yorkshire clubs and reports today Carlos Carvajal has agreed another season with Sheffield Wednesday. We'll also hear from Joe Root as well, talking some footy instead of cricket, which fits quite well since it's the FL72. We'll be back in a few moments' time.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL72. In a couple of non-Football League bits, Tom, as you've just pointed out, Real Madrid have just announced a signing £38 million for...
a 16-year-old. £38 million. He's got to be the next, like, I can't even compare him to, for 38 million quid for 16, he's got to be the next best player in the world, surely.
Vinicius Junior.
I have no idea.
Flamengo.
No idea about Brazilian football, to be honest, so probably good.
Well,
they're paying that much, so.
Yeah, he better
Must be brilliant.
He'll be on loan at Bradford, 2 seasons. Sam Allardyce.
It's Adrian all over again.
Sam Allardyce also quitting Crystal Palace. Yes. I told the chairman, Steve Parrish, that he wants to leave the club. But yeah. Surprised by that?
A bit. Wondering where Allardyce will go, whether he will drop down a league with some managers, some teams looking at managers with the changes expected over the summer.
Hmm.
Yeah, a bit of an interesting one.
Yeah, there's no standout, is there? Maybe just doesn't fancy it.
Maybe, because obviously Jokanović has been linked with the Middlesbrough job. So whether that vacancy becomes open at Fulham, whether Allardyce would go for that, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he's taking a bit of time. Maybe he's going to China or something.
Maybe.
Taking the cash. There we go. With £38 million.
Going on to the, yeah, on that £38 million, Simon Rogers on Facebook says he'll be the next Michael Heffler.
Probably.
Don't think he'd be as good.
We'll have more transfer news very soon before the end of the show, but unfortunately no 16-year-olds for £38 million in Tom's review, but some interesting insights as the is this the official start of the summer transfer centre?
Go for it. Yeah, why not? No, actually, we'll do it Tuesday. We'll give Huddersfield and Reading their finals and Blackpool next. They can have their big game day, whatever. And
then, fair enough. So we'll just have regular transfer gossip.
Just chit-chat.
But we'll do that very, very shortly. Let's finish off talking the Yorkshire stuff. Carlos Carvajal, he's going to stay at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yes.
Does that surprise you?
Not massively. I did say before there was a bit of kind of question marks over whether he'd stay the future if they didn't make promotion, but I think the relationship he has with the owner at Sheffield Wednesday, they're very, very close, so it's not surprising. He said it in his press conference after the Huddersfield game that, you know, in fairness, they have achieved playoffs twice. They've spent a lot of money, yes, but they've still achieved something quite remarkable in making it two seasons in a row, so not overly surprising. I think it's the positive move. He's building something there. You know, he spent 2 years building it. I think he deserves to have a third season, a third go at it to try and get promoted.
Yeah, I don't know. Something's not been right for me with Sheffield Wednesday all season. I know they finished strongly, but it's just been, I don't know, they've lacked the spark. Obviously, they become the hunted this year after a surprise season last year and the amount of investment they made, but it just seems like they've probably tried to do too much. Too many players have been brought in. It's never really been settled. Forestieri's played all over the place. He's not looked happy. And I said they signed the likes of Rhodes in January. He was in, he was out, and you know, not quite hitting the ground running, which you would expect. You know, he went to Middlesbrough last year, helped them get promoted. This year, he came into Sheffield Wednesday and he's kind of featured, hasn't featured, not scored many goals. So I don't know, it's not been, I don't think all is well behind the scenes at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm quite surprised. I thought they might think after 2 years, we've made a lot of investment, he's done a good job. Let's not get away from that. He's not done a bad job by any stretch of the imagination, but now, third year, we've spent all this money.
Mm.
We need somebody that's getting us up. And that link with Alan Pardew, that's somebody you know. If he goes into Sheffield Wednesday in the next week and they spend a decent amount of money, I'd be putting my money down on Sheffield Wednesday to be promoted and probably get automatic promotion, maybe go on and win the whole thing. It's when you get that experienced manager who knows how to take a team up.
Mm.
Whereas Carlos Carvajal, I don't know if he's going to be the nearly man for Sheffield Wednesday.
I think if you got the likes of Pardew, especially if Sheffield Wednesday went on a losing run like they did earlier this season, would they be able to get out of it under Pardew? I'm not too sure. I think he deserves a third year at it because you can't, I know it's 2 years, it's a lot of money, yes, but you're thinking that's been 2 years with money spent, with a squad built. They're going to be able to give it a real good go next season where you've got rid of Newcastle, you've got rid of Brighton. Okay, Reading, Huddersfield's a surprise, and you've still got, you know, the likes of Villa, the likes of Leeds, who we're going to expect to do well next season. One of the playoff final, you know, whichever one loses it, that you're expecting them to kind of kick on and be up there again. I just think that if he deserves one more season at it, where then if it doesn't happen next season, you go, okay, we've had it 3 seasons, we've come so close, but we're going to move elsewhere now. I just think that he's built, you know, a squad. Fair enough, it's a big squad, and I think it's going to be happy to keep, especially some strikers happy who are expecting first-team football, but you can't play them all at once. I just think that next season they could be a real force if they keep him, and you're expecting them to add again in January, in the summer. So yeah, it's difficult.
That's the issue with me now. What do they do? You know, it needs to be ruthless this summer and get that squad down to a 23, 25 man squad that he's happy with, and the players that are in it, who maybe aren't going to play every week, are happy with that, because I just think there are too many strong characters that maybe want to play first team football week in, week out, which they all should, but maybe having the right kind of characters. I'm not sure Sheffield Wednesday have maybe got that balance right in their squad.
Yeah,
so I think there could be problems ahead, and just players like the likes of Ross Wallace, who we've had him at Burnley. I think he's a good player, but
yeah.
Is he now at this stage of his career? Is he the man that's going to take Sheffield Wednesday up in a creative position? Or do they need to start getting some of these players out?
I think the area they need to look at is strikers, and potentially if you're going to spend, maybe freeing up funds, because you've got Fletcher, Winall, Hooper, Rhodes, who are starting strikers in this league, in the Championship. You then throw Matthias into it as well, new who comes off the bench, and then Forestieri, who doesn't play as a striker. They kind of fit him in wherever they can. You can't keep all of them, especially the four that I mentioned first. You can't keep them happy. Surely they're going to want to play football. You can, you know, rotate as much as you want, but are they going to be happy at the end of the day if you find, for example, Fletcher goes on a goal scoring run? Is that going to keep Rhodes out the side, especially with, you know, the formation they play, where you can't play them all, of course, with any formation? But you know, you think that if one of those strikers starts scoring regularly on a regular basis, they can't keep the others happy. Surely if it's keeping them out of the team for, you know, you never know, half a season, if they're only coming off the bench, you're going to be saying that they're going to want to go somewhere where they're going to start, and you know that teams in this league will take them to be starting players. And then you just look across the squad, they've got quality throughout, but again, like we said, there's going to be players there who want to play regular football. And I think whittling the squad down, they've got some good youth players coming through as well. George Hurst in the youth squad's quite highly rated, talked about. Maybe this is where you bring players like that in to learn their trade from the first team, because you've still got a strong 11 and a strong bench on paper, but you haven't got to worry about trying to keep everyone happy and trying to play everyone by rotating the squad all the time.
Indeed, let's just finish on Sheffield United, continuing to do a bit of business ahead of their return to the Championship.
Yes, they're doing a lot of early business. Of course, it's kind of come from the lower leagues, well, in terms of lower than them. Ender Stevens from Portsmouth's been the latest addition. He's joining them. Left-back, featured at Ireland, kind of youth levels, 26. He's been quite a stand-up player for Portsmouth this season, been a regular in that team who, of course, sealed promotion. Likes to get forward as well, plenty of assists this season, so kind of got that attacking threat as well. Continuing to do business. We'll wait to see if they're going to add any more kind of players with, you know, from Championship clubs, maybe look at players from teams above them. We don't know, but yeah, doing their business early, kind of building their squad ahead of the summer. And like I said, I think we expect them to do a bit more.
Indeed, let's hear from Joe Root very quickly now, of course, the England Test captain, talking about his beloved Sheffield United.
And it's been a good sporting few months for you. Obviously, the Blades are getting promoted. You must be delighted with
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a fantastic start to the year. So I suppose now is the tricky bit when the cricket kicks in and we've got to perform. But as a Blades fan, can be proud of how they've played throughout this season, and Chris Wilde's done a fantastic job.
Were you disappointed that Wednesday got knocked out of the playoffs?
I was gutted, absolutely gutted. No, I'm really looking forward to two brilliant derbies again next year, and hopefully the city will be red by the end of them.
Indeed, looking forward to the return of the Sheffield Derby next season. Tom, we should crack on, really, because we've got about 10 minutes left of the show.
Run out of time, yeah.
Indeed, and you handed me this piece of paper earlier, and I was like, I don't think
we're going to have to fill, aren't we? We're going to have to fill, but we've run out of time.
We've still got two-thirds of the show to go, essentially, but we did have takeover news.
Blame Leeds. It's all Leeds' fault, as usual.
Yeah, blame Leeds. A former Leeds man, Harry Kewell, he is the man now in charge of Crawley Town. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, Harry Kewell, recent experience at Watford as part of their youth coach setup. I believe he's gone to Crawley, and that's given me 45 League Two teams to support next season. So there we go. That's all I'll say on that one.
Okay. That's about the 45th time you've used that joke today, I think.
Second, I used it on air with Andy, but I wanted to use it again.
Media as well.
Oh, yeah, I tweeted it as well. To be honest, you know, you've got to be topical with the news. It's going to be expired come tomorrow. Until next season, where every Saturday I can tweet, come on, insert opponent's name here. So, yeah, there we are, Harry Keel, Crawley Town.
Indeed, there we go. Tom Carnoff is available if you maybe need, if you're doing a best man speech ahead of the wedding season, he's available to write your jokes. Jokanović from Fulham, we were going to mention this already, yeah. His favourite for the Middlesbrough job.
Yes, yes.
The appointment, you think, if he went there?
Yeah, I think they can't keep Steve Agnew, that's for certain. He's done a fantastic job with Fulham this season. I'm not sure whether you'd expect Middlesbrough to have bigger resources in terms of finance to attract him to the club, but yeah, it's one to watch. He's kind of the early early. He's the favourite with the bookies going into next season. So yeah, should be interesting.
Nigel Pearson and Kevin Phillips.
Yes, Kevin Phillips,
front runners for Sunderland.
Yes, David Moyes, of course, resigning yesterday. Two people who worked with each other, I think, at Derby County and Leicester. I think they both worked together. But Kevin Phillips one's really interesting as well. So you've got Nigel Pearson, who's got plenty of managerial experience. And you've got Kevin Phillips, who doesn't. So, yeah, it's two contrasting ones, really.
Yeah, could be the right time, though, for a Kevin Phillips. You said been involved at clubs now, so he's had plenty of experience working with different managers. And yeah. Of course, Sunderland, he's going to get a bit of time. The fans are going to be patient, so it could be the right opportunity.
Yeah, Ryan Giggs is the third favourite, I think, for it as well, of course, which, because, you know, he's Ryan Giggs, he somehow just is allowed to walk into a job. It could be, but do Sunderland maybe need to get someone with a bit of experience, because they're going to need a big rebuild to do that? But then at the same time, you could argue that maybe rebuild time is perfect for a younger manager to come in and kind of be a part of that rebuilding process and get experience at the same time.
Yeah, I think it might be for Sunderland this time. They've done the experience.
But then you think that there's got to be a lot of change next season. They're going to have to find a goal scorer for a start at this level. You don't know.
Kevin Phillips, player manager.
Yeah, get him on, but at the same time, if you're rebuilding, do you want an inexperienced manager at the helm where if results start going against you, would he be able to turn it around? You don't know.
Indeed, we shall wait and see. I'm backing Kevin Phillips for that job. Steve Evans.
Stevie.
Could he be on the move to Swindon?
Your man from Mansfield is favourite for Swindon job. No real secret, but he's still the favourite to obviously do that, make the move. Yeah, it's quite a public one. Whether it'll be a good move, I don't know. Is it really a step up in terms of the current club's positions? I'm not too sure. But with the job he's done at Mansfield this season, he's kind of built his stock up again after a spell at Leeds. So, yeah, it's one to watch with interest.
David Stockdale to leave Brighton, ?
This is an interesting one because he's rejected the new contract at the club. Not sure what's going on. He tweeted things this week which suggested he could be on the way back to Yorkshire. Not too sure whether he goes to Leeds, for example, where he's from the city, been at the club before, whether he comes in as a competition to Rob Green, or the one I'm thinking, maybe Huddersfield, who, of course, Danny Ward is only on loan, whether they look to add him, but could be expected to see him around Yorkshire pretty soon. I don't think he'll be going with Brighton to the Premier League.
Ipswich, their retain list is out. We've got a couple of retain lists to run through quickly. Ipswich and Wigan as well.
Yeah, two clubs who released them last week even. Christoph Berra, Jonathan Douglas, Leon Best are kind of the more recognisable names on Ipswich's, which featured a bit, so that's quite surprising. Stephen Warnock's moved on from Wigan as well. Gabriel Obertan, blast from the past, he's gone as well. And Jussi Jaskalainen, who's been around since the dawn of time, has been released from Wigan. So, yeah, they had a bit of a clear-out, more of an experienced clear-out, I think, whether they're going to bring in some younger players to replace them. Remains to be seen.
And, of course, it's the League Two playoff final.
It is, yes.
Blackpool-Exeter.
Yes, Blackpool-Exeter. Exeter go into it as the fancy team. That was pre-playoffs. both dramatic finales to get there. Absolute belter of a strike for Exeter and an own goal got Blackpool there. So different fortunes, but yeah, really looking forward to it. If the semi-finals are anything to go by, it should be a great game to obviously kick off the mini playoff weekend after the FA Cup.
Who do you fancy?
I backed Exeter before the playoffs, so I'm going to stick with them. I fancy them to get it done and move up to League One.
I'm going to back Blackpool.
Oh, right,
first
okay, yeah.
Back up.
It's causing problems. Cool.
League One. Let's move on. It's not the start of the summer transfer centre just yet, but we've got a bit of transfer gossip for you. We mentioned Huddersfield there and potentially David Stockdale coming in, but also Alex Smith is making a return.
Yeah, this has been linked. This came out this weekend, over the weekend, I think it came out that, yeah, looking to bring him back. Of course, mention it there, that the current number one, Danny Ward, only on loan. Whether they'll be looking for a more permanent person to be there remains to be seen. There was talk of Liverpool actually using Danny Ward in some capacity next season. So I think it's clear that Huddersfield are going to have to look for a more permanent one. And Smithies, of course, knows the club. But I think, given the choice, I'd probably go for a Stockdale, who's just had promotion experience. And of course, the highest amount of clean sheets this season. But yeah, one to watch. I'd expect Huddersfield to make a move for a goalkeeper this summer.
Brighton moving out of the Championship, but they've started to do some business.
Yes, making the move. Looking at Germany as well, Pascal Gross, the Ingolstadt, really experienced Ingolstadt as well, over 150 appearances in 5 years at the club. So yeah, doing business early on. Of course, looking to build for the Premier League. I don't think Brighton need to do too much, really.
No,
little additions, do they? So yeah, good move, I think. It remains to be seen how he copes with the Premier League.
Not having this one, Newcastle, another team, of course, leaving the Football League, aiming to seal a $6 million deal for Burnley striker Ashley Barnes.
Yes,
not having it.
Any footballer
happening.
Would want to get out of Burnley, so don't blame him. But yeah, not too sure on this one. Newcastle, do they need a £6 million striker? I don't think so. I don't think, much like Brighton, they need much. Maybe little additions, but I think they've kind of got a Premier League team built ready this season. But yeah, that's kind of one of the stories to come out recently. And who'd blame him, really? Who'd blame him for going to a club that are going places?
Hands off. Hands off warning. Derby and Oxford looking to beat the Scottish Giants Rangers.
Yes, the lads are at Rangers. Lewis Malt from Motherwell, striker, 30 goals in 69 appearances, I think, at the club. So got a very good record. And yeah, you can't imagine it. He'll cost overly too much coming from Scotland. So one to watch. One to watch with interest.
Aston Villa after Sam Gallagher.
Sam Gallagher, yes. Southampton, been out on loan quite a bit as well. £7 million. The price tag going on it, I suppose, in modern football, that's not a massive price tag, really. But yeah, may as well, if Villa are sniffing around looking for to sign him.
One other bit of transfer news from Facebook. Philip's been back in touch. So he read this morning that Cabana from Fulham may be on Leeds' radar. In the article, it stated that Leeds had a poor season. Do journalists even pay attention to Leeds? It was our best season.
Exactly that. Great.
For years.
Finish on that. Great season for Leeds, despite missing out.
There we go. Always brings it round to Leeds.
Positivity.
Thanks so much for listening to the FL 72. Tom.